بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I do not believe in motivation. I don't believe that you can motivate anybody. What you can do is to create an environment in which people who wish to be motivated motivate themselves. Just like I don't believe that you can manage time, you can manage your priorities in life, time is beyond your control. Yesterday I spoke to you about, the title was, If He Can Do It, So Can I. And that's something I want you to truly and genuinely believe in. If He can do it, so can I. That He can be anybody. In this case, I gave you my own example. I'm going to give you some more examples. But if He can do it, or she can do it, so can I. Wherever you are in life, it doesn't tell you whether you can succeed or fail. It just tells you where you need to start. And that is why we need to start. The important thing to understand is that if you try something, you might succeed or you might fail. But if you don't try it at all, you will surely fail. There's nobody that I know who succeeded without trying. You try, you may succeed or you may fail, but if you don't try, you can never succeed. So try. My principle in life is that whenever I'm faced with a challenge, no matter what the challenge is, my first response is, yes, I can do it. At that point in time, do I know if I can do it? No, I don't. But neither does the other person. And that's the great secret. Say that to yourself. Don't tell that to anybody else. Whether you can do something or not depends on if you are willing to try hard enough. And then you do, lo and behold, you discover that you can do it because you tried. I went off to Guyana and I got this job in the middle of nowhere in the boondocks in a place called Kokwani, one of the most beautiful places in the world, on the bank of the Burbis River, in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. Hot and humid most of the time, every evening practically there's a rain shower from going by the trade winds which bring the rain there almost throughout the year except for some few months. Other than that, every evening there is a shower. You sit and listen to the forest, you hear the different varieties of sounds, all kinds of sounds, toucans, macaws, parakeets. You don't hear many other things which are in the forest, but you hear these. You hear the movement of the breeze in the tall trees, the tops of the trees. You see you feel the breeze coming first, and then you hear the rustling of the leaves in a distance, and then it comes down, and then you feel it. You hear the rain approaching from a distance, especially if you are sitting at a height, then you can even see the rain, the squalls coming in off the coast usually. And you can see them coming in from a distance and you can watch them approach until they are directly overhead. And if you want to get wet, no problem, because it's a hot, humid place. The rain will not kill you, it just cools you down. Of course, obviously it's wet, so there's that part of it. But other than that, there is no problem. You can get as wet as you want. What does it feel like to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning? It's technically morning, but it's pitch dark. You get into a small skiff, a small boat, with your friend Peter Ramsing at the back, pulling you along to the creek where you had put up a net across the front of that creek, across the mouth of the creek, because that's where the Lukanani, the fish in the Burbis River, that's where they come into the water. And of course, stringing a net across the mouth of the creek is a pretty productive thing to do, because you get at least 3 or 4 fish, and that is more than enough for a wonderful breakfast in the morning. But that particular day when I am lifting that net, the net is enormously heavy. So I said, my God, what did I catch? And as we lift the net up, and up comes a head, a flat head with black eyes staring straight at me and a forked tongue coming out of the mouth. and that was the head of an anaconda. He was so badly entangled in the net that much as I wanted to release him, even at the cost of destruction of my net, there was no way to do that. So very reluctantly, I had to shoot him. I did that. He convulsed and almost sank the boat. But then we managed to, when he finished, Peter and I managed to just tie him to the side of the boat and bring the boat up to our camp, which was on a sandbank at the bottom of a very large pool, which into which the Burbis River at that point in time, a set of rapids, they ended up in that pool. And that pool was known for arapaima, which is the largest freshwater fish in the world. When we brought the anaconda to the beach and we removed him from the net and measured him, he was 22 feet long. We coiled him up, and Peter and I both tried to lift him. The two of us together couldn't lift him. And then so we took the skin off and we took the skin home and we left the rest of him there. The reason I'm telling you this, and I can tell you all these stories, endless amount, alhamdulillah, lots of these things, is for the learnings. The willingness to take initiative, the willingness to take risk, the willingness to take decisions, the willingness to not to take no for an answer, the willingness to look at things positively, to look at difficulties positively and say, how can I solve this? What can I do with it? Not moan and groan about how I'm living in the middle of a forest and there is no Baskin Robbins ice cream. In those days, I didn't even know that there was such a thing called Baskin Robbins. Not worrying about, you know, the usual stuff. These were the days before mobile phones, obviously, because I'm talking about 1979 to 83. But even regular landline was more a decoration. I don't think my phone in the 5 years maybe rang 3 times. So you learn to live with yourself. You learn to communicate with yourself. You learn to reflect. You learn to love silence. You learn to talk to yourself. You learn to write. You learn to record thoughts and ideas and hopes and aspirations and fears and apprehensions. You learn to record sadness and to record joy. You learn to make friends, you learn to talk to them. You learn the importance of diversity of different cultures, different religions, different ways of looking at life, and you learn to respect people for that, not criticize them, not look down upon them, not stereotype them, but to build relationships, close relationships. Relationships where people stand up for you even at the risk of their own lives. There were 3 instances where I stood off and faced off armed mobs. One was in Guyana, 2 were in the Anamalais, in the planting this time of my planting careers. And the third one, the fourth one was where I faced off a single man with a machete in his hand, also in the plantations. All of those times with a smile on my face, and I lived to tell the tale. And I wasn't armed any of those times except once when I also happened to have a machete, because I was in a pruning field and we all had pruning knives. And so I wasn't armed for that reason, but I had a pruning knife in my hand like everybody else. It's not a matter of your body, it's a matter of your heart. It's not the size of your muscles, it's the size of your heart. The reason I'm saying all of this is because it's very common when we are faced with difficulties to feel fear, and fear is a very good thing. Fear just indicates to you that you are intelligent enough to understand the danger, to recognize that there is danger. It is stupid not to feel fear when you should be feeling fear, because then you become careless, because you don't recognize the danger that you are facing. So you should feel fear. But to allow that fear to paralyze you is a sign of lack of iman. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can, is the only one who can cause anything to happen, good or bad. لَا نَافِ وَلَا ضَرَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no nafa and there is no darr except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So when you have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, alhamdulillah, there is nothing to fear. There's only anticipation to look forward to and say, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause whatever that incident is to end in khair and to end in His pleasure, jalla jalaluhu. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that risk taking is the blood flow of life. We stop, we don't die when we stop breathing. We die when we stop learning. We die when we stop taking risk. We die when we tell ourselves that my life is over. Life doesn't end with that. Life is not it's not running out of breath. Just like breathing is not living. Both of them. To live is to live with passion, to live with thoughtfulness, to live with the desire to do something worthwhile, the desire to leave a mark of your passing. As my friend and mentor and elder, Mr. Ahmadullah used to tell me, he once told me, he said, tell me what happens if you put manure in the base of a plant. I said, the plant grows. So he said, that means that even manure has an effect. Now, if you live in this life and you have no effect, it means you are worse than manure. You're worse than cow dung. Now, that's not how I want to be remembered, as somebody who was worse than cow dung. So we need to ask ourselves, what is the effect of my having been born? What is the effect of my coming into this world? We didn't come to live like cattle, just to eat and drink and sleep and make a few babies and die. That's not why we came into this world. We came into this world to make this world a better place than it was when we came in. Maybe we tried, maybe we didn't try hard enough, maybe we didn't try in the right ways, but there is always a time to begin, and that time is now. Because now is the only time we have. What's gone is finished. The future, we don't know whether it will come. What we do have is what we have now, today, this moment. And so therefore, I remind myself and you, let us make this intention and say that going forward from this moment onwards, my life is not going to be a worthless bunch of breaths. It is going to be worthwhile. It is going to be thoughtful. It's going to be useful. It's going to be beneficial for others. Because that is the way that we benefit ourselves. I began by saying that it's not possible to inspire anybody. It's not possible to motivate anybody. And I believe that, and I completely and totally, this is my life experience. It's like saying, if I ask you a question, what does a lamp do to a room to light up the room? And the answer is, the lamp does nothing to the room. The lamp lights itself up. So when you feel inspired in the company of somebody, it's not because that person is doing something to you. It's because that person has inspired himself. He's lighted his own lamp. And when the person lights his own lamp, he illuminates everybody else. Whoever is around that person, that person also gets illuminated. So light your own lamp. Forget about the world. The world is full of negativity. Today we live in a toxic environment. And that's why I said, get off all social media, because there is nothing that social media does which is of any value. It's just total spreading of negativity. It's a cesspool. WhatsApp is a cesspool. Twitter is a cesspool. Facebook is a cesspool. There's no need to sit in that cesspool. Use what you have to use as a matter of necessity alone, and the rest of it, forget it. Go talk to people. Go face to face talk to people. Meet people. Build relationships. Do things for people. Help other people. Forget about the negativity of the world. Don't worry about who killed whom and what happened and who is making hate speeches and who is bad-mouthing this one and that one. Forget all of that. Makes no difference. Their opinion is worthless. Their approval is worthless. Their disapproval is worthless. What is worthwhile is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of us, and that is the only thing that we need to think about. So let us work on that. Let's try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us ensure that every single action of ours is accounted for. Every minute, every second is accounted for. Life is not a set of things. As I mentioned yesterday, your assets are not a bunch of things. They are a bunch of hours and minutes. Let us ensure that our assets are best used and best leveraged in order to give us the best return. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ